Hey everybody, how you doing? This is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and today I want to talk about end-to-end safety, specifically a way we can help weed out the problem contractors, find fault with safety habits out in the field, and record it and get it back to the end customer. So what am I going to do? I'm going to explain it to you in a minute, but first I want to give thanks to Tower Safety. Yes, Tower Safety out in Arizona. I appreciate all they do because they're a sponsor of mine. They're a safety company that teaches OSHA 10, Tower Climber Safety, Tower Climber Rescue, and they teach a lot more, but that is where the best get better. That's their slogan, the best get better. So anyways, I do appreciate it. They're a good company, and if you can't go to them in Arizona, they'll come to you. How's that sound? You can't beat that. It's convenience. And they are an official school for training for tower safety and for wireless. So here you go. I got a couple other things here. End-to-end safety. Listen, one of the things we need to do is figure out how to keep everything safer out there. And I know you guys get tired of me preaching about the safety RFI that OSHA put out, but I thought it was a good thing. But first, let me explain. I'm going to tell you exactly what to do, but why is safety important? If you need to ask, we got issues here, right? Because the FCC commissioner, Mignon Clyburn, also said that we need to be as safe as possible and think of tower climber safety. Now, all you guys that get mad and upset about that, I mean, it's true. I don't know why anyone would get upset over that, but that's just obvious. You know, that's why the FCC spaces out their auctions the way they do, because they don't want all the builds to happen at the same time. Now, with that said, when they do an auction, you're going to have all the carriers building at the same time, because the OEMs will take roughly 6 months to a year to develop the product, and you're going to have to do site acquisition. That could take anywhere from 3 months to who knows how long on some of these tower sites. You're going to have to do structural upgrades. You're going to, you know, just look at the wireless deployment in a large scale, which I wrote a blog about. So you're going to have a lot to do. Well, anyway, what I want to talk about specifically is what the customer, the end customer, can do to make a difference. Now, just to make it easy for a lot of you people, I know in broadcast, most of them are smaller companies, but they tend to use the same tower crews. They're very faithful. They tend to use people they trust. Governments put things out to bid because they have to. Communication companies, a lot of them put it out to bid. But the carriers, and I'm going to include FirstNet in this, but the AT&T Wireless, the Verizon Wireless, Sprint, and T-Mobile, cheapest bidder, right? They really could care less who gets the work, which really shows they have a hands-off approach. They don't want to touch anything. They put it out to bid, except for maintenance. But as far as the deployment goes, I'm talking specifically deployment here, they put it out to bid to go to the cheapest bidder. And if you look at it, if you have $1,000 more a site for 1,000 sites, was that $100,000? It's a lot of money. I get what they're doing. However, and this is going to cost money, but here's a way that they specifically can play a role in safety, hands-on safety. And by safety, I don't mean asking for the certifications up front and say, well, we got their certs. What I'm saying is they can monitor the work by doing safety audits. Now, let me walk you through this. So what they would have to do, they plan their deployment, right? I mean, it's not just a spur-of-the-moment thing. It takes a while to plan. They plan the deployment of the contractors. You know, they put it out to bid. They write the RFPs. It doesn't happen overnight. So they know exactly what the schedule is going to be. So while they're doing that, they should have their safety teams. They have all those directors of safety on each company that are basically making sure that the certifications are ready, that everything's safe. Well, here's what they can do. They can put together an RFP for safety audits. Safety audits simultaneously with this offer. So what they would do, they would put together an offer, and I'm going to go over it. Won't be a lot of work for them. I'm going to put together a white paper if anyone's interested, and I just haven't had time to do it yet. And what they can do is, for these audits, they can do a couple things. They can set it out up front. They have to be independent of the contractors. So you got to go to different people. You can't use the GCs. You can't use the OEMs or whoever is going to build out your network. You can't use those people. Why? There's a chance they could cheat, they could lie, they could inform everybody when the audit is going to happen. That you don't want to happen. Here's what you want to happen. You want everyone to go out, and you want the auditor to go out and see the site as it happens without the tower crew being warned or anything like that. I'm not saying you have to do every site. What I'm saying is pick a number, 10% to 25% of each region. And you don't need a climbing crew. I wouldn't have people climb. You don't want two crews in a tower. What I would do is have one person, and I would do it like this. Remember, this is independent of the GCs. You don't want them doing it. So you have to find your own people. But basically, you want to keep the contractors honest. You want to get rid of the incompetent crews. And you want all the crews to be on their toes for safety at all times. So the way it would work is you would send somebody out. They would take distance. They would take pictures and video from afar using a camera, right? So they would have to know how to use a video camera and a regular camera from afar. I don't know if their iPhone would cut it. You'd probably want something a little better. So after they take pictures from afar, and they can monitor for, say, an hour, okay? They can drive up to the site. They can identify themselves to the tower crew on site, which is very important. The tower crew should understand who they are. And then they should get permission to go on site. They could ask for ID for everyone on the site. And by the way, they should have ID themselves that they show the foreman or the crew lead. And they can ask for ID for everyone on the site. They can ask for their safety credentials, but chances are nobody's going to have it with them, right? I mean, it used to be we used to carry cards. I don't know if you remember the days of Comtrains, they issued cards. But now they could probably just have it emailed to them, and they could request that for everyone on site. But they should ask for ID and names for everyone on site. And they should get the names. Now, I know a couple guys will be up in the air, but the guy on the ground should at least have names, and he should be able to email the safety inspector everything. So while the safety audit person is there, the auditor, I'm going to say the inspector, while he's on, he or she, while that person is on site, they should take as many pictures, they should observe, they should ask questions, they should look around at the PPE, at the rope. They should really inspect the site for safety. And they should also inspect the work being done, make sure it's quality work. Now, chances are a lot of these auditors may not have the field experience that you want, because let's face it, you guys are going to go to the lowest bidder. Chances of getting quality people at the lowest bidder the way you guys do it, who knows? But let's assume you do get somebody that knows what they're doing. They'll be able to pick apart things pretty quick. Now, what you don't want them doing is telling the foreman how to do their job. Although a lot of them will, power trip goes to their head. What you do want is you want them looking around. You want them looking at what's going on. You want them taking video and taking pictures. And you know what? If they get permission, fly the drone up to see what's going on with the climbers. You don't want to distract the climbers too much. You want to let the foreman know you're going to do that, and you want to have him alert the climbers that you're going to fly a drone up, and you don't want the drone too close to the tower. You want it at least, say, 20 feet away. It can take plenty of pictures, 20, 30, 40 feet away. You don't need to be that close, okay? But it's just a way to observe the climbers in the air. Like I said, you don't want that safety auditor climbing any tower. You don't want two crews in the tower if possible. You just want him on the tower. You just want the original tower crews in the tower, and you want the safety auditor on the ground. If he has a drone, fly a drone up and take pictures. Very common now. And you have permission to do it now. I think the FAA is going to release that. So that's what you want to do. Pictures. And while they're there, you want them to fill out the survey, write in the names, write down the habits, write down the quality of the rope, of the PPE, make sure everyone's wearing PPE. You want to log all that. You want to have a log sheet ahead of time ready. So that's what you want to do. Why do you want to do this? Well, traditionally carriers have been hands off, but if they really want to do more for safety, if they really want to make a difference in these deployments, if they really want to know what's going on, if they really want to know if their contractor is hiring competent crews, this is a way to do it. Go out while they're in the act. And let's face it, the carrier should have the schedule of when they're going to hit each tower crew. I'm not saying you'll hit every tower. And some of these safety auditors might have wasted trips because, you know, it rains, you have bad weather, crews get called out in an emergency, things happen. But they can verify that ahead of time. Most of the times, a project manager somewhere will know. And maybe you hope the PM doesn't tip off the crews, but it could happen. But my point is here, you're going to find incompetent crews, you're going to find dishonest contractors, and you're going to keep everyone on their toes for safety all the time. You don't have to inspect every site. 10 to 25% of the sites is fine, and make it very random. Very random. You want random inspections. Usually when a crew's on site, they're on site for a week. You can just have your auditor stop by for a day and watch what's happening. You don't need to babysit. You just need to show up, maybe spend a day there, log it, let's say 3 hours, maybe an hour remote, 2 or 3 hours on site, and then you got all your drive time. So it's probably a day for a site, unless the site's, you know, you have multiple crews working, they can inspect multiple crews, try to build in efficiencies and so on. But why don't you want to do this? Well, I can see the carriers might not want to do it because it's extra money. It's going to be one more thing they have to build in a budget, one more thing they have to look out for, one more thing they have to pay for and plan for. And the other reason they don't want to do it, they like being hands off. They don't want anyone blaming them for anything. However, if they're doing safety audits, they're doing all that they can for safety. That is a shining star in the public eye. They're doing all they can. They're doing inspections. If something gets by them, it's not their fault. Someone snuck something by them and they just couldn't catch it. But I don't know what they'll think, because if you think about it, I know it's a financial issue, but look at all the money they throw at CTIA, PCIA, and NATE to resolve this issue, to resolve tower climber safety. Look at how many meetings they go to at the government. You know, I was at TIRAP. AT&T had a gentleman there to make sure that everything was going on the way it should be. With that said, how's that working out? You know, I mean, they had somebody there. TIRAP is very slow to get moving. The carriers show their full support, but I want to take it a step farther. They want safety in their hands. Here is a way for them to be hands-on. Here is a way for them to absolutely positively know what's going on in the field. So I'm just throwing this out there. It's an idea for my end-to-end safety ideas, because safety starts from beginning to end. Everyone plays a role, but you wouldn't know that when someone gets hurt, would you? When someone gets hurt, everyone points a finger at the climber, and I get it. The climber is going to do all that they can to be safe. Sometimes, some of these businesses are not the most moral people that run them. They just hire anybody. They have these new crews. The rollouts are happening quick. I'm not saying whose fault it is, except for the business owner that put these incompetent guys out there in the first place. And I'm not saying they're incompetent. I'm just saying they're in over their heads. And that was another blog I put out. Are you in over your head? Anyways, I'm just coming up with ways to help. You guys tell me what you think. WadeForWireless.com. Get on there and say, hey, you think I'm an idiot? Tell me I'm an idiot. Tell me, poke holes in this. Tell me what's wrong with it. Tell me what's wrong now before I write anything more about it, because I'm just trying to come up with solutions. That's what we need. We need solutions. And somebody has to do it, because we had less than a, you know, we just didn't have a lot of people responding to the OSHA RFIs, less than 1,000 last time I looked. Which is amazing, because supposedly there's 17,000 climbers out there, and less than 1,000 could take, you know, 20 or 30 minutes to fill that out. So with all that said, be smart, be safe, and pay attention to what you're doing. Safety matters. Arrive alive at home at night, okay? At the end of the week, whenever you get home, you want to get home alive. You got a family count on you. You got people that want you to be there the next day, even your crewmates. Even though you guys may hate each other in the middle of the day, at the end of the day, y'all want to have a beer together. Don't deny it. I know how you think. All right, guys, be smart, be safe, pay attention.